Hello, and welcome again to Studies in the Gospels, heard each week right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, your host for this program, where each week we look at the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We are looking now in our ongoing studies at the events of the last days of public teaching of Christ in those days before the cross. And today we're going to look at Mark chapter 12, verses 13 through 17, and consider the question, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? Let's notice now our text beginning in verse 13 of Mark chapter 12. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. When they had come, they said to him, Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay? Or shall we not pay? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it. So they brought it. And he said to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus answered and said to them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. So now let's go back and let's consider our text now today. We are now into the last week of Jesus before the cross. It is Tuesday of that last week, and Jesus is teaching in the temple. The scribes and the Pharisees had already been questioning the authority of Jesus. If you go back to chapter 11, you can see it in verses 20 through 33. And in response to them, Jesus had given the parable of the wicked vine dressers in the first 11 verses of this chapter. And Jesus is now, in our text today, being approached by a group of Pharisees and Herodians. And their desire was to ensnare him and land him in hot water with the government. Now notice verse 13. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. In their attempt to ensnare the Lord, they put forth a question of who should one pay taxes to Caesar or to God. Now look at the response of the Lord in verses 14 and 15. When they had come, they said to him, Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay, or shall we not pay? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it. Now, though they believe themselves to be quite clever, their attempt to catch Jesus off guard was very foolish, and it was one that was easily handled by our Lord. Jesus knew that their hearts were evil, and Jesus easily recognized their dishonesty and their hypocrisy in asking this question. Now, there was nothing wrong with the question itself. The wrong lie in the intent behind the question. Again, look at our text. But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it." So, to expose their hypocrisy, Jesus asked them for a coin. So they bring him a coin, and he asked them, "Whose picture is on the coin?" Verse 16 says, "So they brought it. And he said to them, 'Whose image and inscription is this?' They said to him, 'Caesar's.'" They answered the question of Jesus correctly, for it was Caesar on the coin. His reply to the hypocrites was not going to be what they were looking for. Verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' And they marveled at him." Jesus points out that we have duty to both God and country. What do we owe our government? And what do we owe our God? Let's take our remaining time today to consider these questions. What do we as Christians owe our country? One thing is that as Christians, we are to pay our taxes. Jesus taught this in our text very clearly. In verse 17, he said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." The Apostle Paul would later teach this very thing also. Romans 13, verses 6 and 7 says, "For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to do this very thing. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor." Also, we are to obey the laws of the land. Christians are to obey the laws that are made by civil governments, as long as they do not force you to violate God's laws. Notice Romans 13, beginning in verse 1. "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake." And notice the admonition that Paul gave to Titus to pass on to the brethren in Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work." As Christians, we also have a duty to submit to civil government for the Lord's sake. Consider what Peter taught us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. So Christians are to pay their taxes. Christians are to obey the laws of the land. And next we need to consider that Christians are to honor the king. Christians will give honor to the king and all of those who have the rule over us. And that is regardless of what we may think of them personally. Again, Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We will show respect to the authority and position of the ruler. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 21 says, my son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change. As Christians, we must take great care not to speak evil of rulers. There may be great temptation in this day to that, but we must avoid it. This is something that happens way too often in the politically charged environment we live in this day and age. To speak out against policy is one thing, but understand, to speak evil of the ruler or to wish evil upon the ruler is an entirely different matter and, in fact, is sinful. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 28 says, you shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 5, then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. Consider Jude in verses 8 and 9. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Christians will honor all and love the brethren. Again, 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. If the apostles did not rail against the evil emperor Nero, then how can we rail against those in authority today? And so Christians will honor the king. And another thing that Christians will do is do good for their country. We will be ready for every good work. Again, think of Titus 3:1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. We will live and conduct our lives in an honorable way before all men. Consider 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. Indeed, a Christian will be the best citizens of any nation. And Christians have the duty to pray for those in authority. Christians will pray for all men, and specifically those in authority. And we need to hear this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And understand, this applies whether we like our leaders or not. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in God, all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Christians are sojourners in this world, and our true citizenship is in heaven. It is not in the United States or any other nation. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." But Christians are, however, to be a blessing to whatever earthly nation in which we live. Just consider, when we meet our God-given obligations, we will be a blessing to whatever country we live in. So we have found that the Christian has great responsibility to their rulers. But now we must ask the question, what do we owe God? The first thing that we owe God is to love Him with all our heart and all of our might. Jesus taught that to love God with all of our being was in fact the greatest command. Notice Matthew 22, beginning in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, and saying, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Since Jesus said it is the most important thing for us to do, then we certainly should do that very thing. Now, if we are to love Him first, the next thing we see is that we are to obey God from the heart. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Consider the following. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Jesus said that this is what is true love. Notice John 14, verse 21. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Now jump down a verse to verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So if we are to love God with all of our heart, and we are to obey God from the heart, then obviously we will make God our priority. We will seek his will. We will seek God's desire. We will seek God's righteousness in all that we do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." God must come first. God comes before yourself, your family, your work, and your country. He must be first and have the preeminence in all things. When the laws and statutes of man come into the conflict with the law of God, we will follow God. Remember Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29. "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us.' But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" From time to time, various questions arise in the minds of Christians. Should a Christian vote? Should a Christian hold political office? Can a Christian serve in the military? Is it right for a Christian to serve on a jury? And the list of questions could go on. Now, we must first understand that if the cost of any of these duties are too high, for example, if it forces you to put country before God, then it should be avoided. But if the cost does not require you to place something before God, then we should be the best citizens of all in any nation. If the cost does not require one to put the civil authorities before God, then Christians should feel free to participate in the various activities of a nation. So now as we bring our thoughts to a close today, let's consider some things that we need to remember. A Christian should be a blessing to any country in which they reside and should be the very best of citizens. A Christian should be a source of good to a nation. Why? Because they pay their taxes. They respect the laws of the land, and they honor those in authority. They promote the general welfare of a nation through their good works and benevolent actions, and our prayers go up for those in authority and those in need. Christians will be a blessing to a nation because they honor God first. This will produce the blessings of a God that hears their prayers for both their nation and its leaders. Now, our civil leaders may or may not understand the lives of Christians, but we will do what is right. Let's close with verse 17 from our text. "And Jesus answered and said to them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you'll join us again next week, if the Lord wills, as we continue to look at those events of the week before the cross. I hope to see you then. So long, and have a great day.